And we're back for part two of Cambridge Inside Out. And I'm still Robert Winters, and it is still November 19th, 2024. I wanted to talk just a little bit more about some of the matters having to do with the boards and commissions for the city, only because it's actually kind of an interesting tale right now. So, up to just a few weeks ago, we had all, I think we were down to about two boards and commissions that were seeking members, and then there has been this flurry of opportunities, including a new one today. I think I'm not sure if the transit. I'm just going to go from the bottom up because it's more or less chronologically from when they appeared. So the Transit Advisory Committee, which talks about public transportation and what have you. They were seeking members, and I don't know if it's still open. It was last time I looked, but the deadline had actually passed a month ago. But sometimes they just leave it open anyway, and they still are getting applicants because I haven't seen any appointments made. So maybe they're still looking for people who are interested in public transit. The kiosk, where Out of Town News was in Harvard Square. They have a Cambridge Kiosk Advisory Committee, which I think they've chosen a vendor to help operate it. Forget the name of this group who did it. They were there temporarily in the past, but I think they are sincerely looking for some public input, and that would be funneled through the Cambridge Kiosk Advisory Committee about how to best make use of this resource, which is the kiosk, which is no longer a newsstand. I think when they finish redoing the plaza, it'll be sort of an empty space that can be used for a variety of things. I'll be perfectly honest and say that I've always said that they should have one wall of that on the exterior for the warmer weather months be a screen where you could actually watch baseball games, and with just some movable chairs. And if it was really up to me, I'd have them selling hot dogs there, but there's the upper crusties from 02138 would probably love to have violin concertos and art exhibits and all of that stuff. But personally, I'll take baseball and hot dogs, but that's me. So I probably wouldn't get appointed to the kiosk advisory committee because I'm clearly unworthy. A couple of really big ones. One is the Board of Zoning Appeals. I think most people more or less know what their scope of services is. By the way, there's much more detailed up on the website. If you click on this thing, there's much more detailed descriptions for each of these, but I'm just sort of giving the superficial version of it. So, zoning laws are meant to be rough guidelines for how things are supposed to be, but they're always going to be exceptions. And there are always going to be hardships, and it is the job of the Board of Zoning Appeals to basically adjudicate applications for variances for doing that. So, anyway, so they're seeking members. I don't know how many vacancies they have, whether it's one or several, but it's kind of a big deal. I do know that one person who was leaving was heavily associated with the A Better Cambridge group, and so much so that he even was the moderator of a candidate forum during the municipal election last year. So much for objectivity there. I hope that the Board of Zoning Appeals can be neutral and not associated with a particular political constituency. I think it's a growing problem right now. Similarly, the Planning Board, which seems, the city council seems to be with every proposal wanting to take away more authority from the planning board, and just allow everything as of right. Certainly during the promotion of the affordable housing overlay, they pretty much turned the planning board, which had regulatory authority over many things, and they turned them into barely an advisory board to the affordable housing trusts, where absolutely nothing they would say would be binding. So the current proposal for supersizing zoning and quadrupling heights and density, or really at least tripling heights and density in all residential zones, I believe that the role of the planning board will also be minimized because, God forbid, we should actually let the public and the public's representatives actually have any say in anything because, don't you know, those are just those evil neighborhood defenders that must be stopped from defending their neighborhoods and such. There's also positions for the Public Art Commission. I don't know a whole lot about exactly what they do, but I do remember we had to go in front of them some years ago when the Irish Famine Memorial was proposed for the Cambridge Common. But they deal with public art and various ones. There's Cambridge Historical. Actually, a lot of the other ones are related to the Historical Commission. So Cambridge Historical Commission itself is seeking members, and they have monthly meetings. Related to that are the neighborhood conservation districts, which I think were created maybe back in the 70s or 80s, which don't have, they're not super powerful, but they basically are designed to help shape some development proposals by meeting with people who are planning to do certain things and helping guide them. They have, some, I think they can delay things briefly, but not very much. But anyway, so my neighborhood, Mid-Cambridge Neighborhood Conservation District Commission, seeking members. Half Crown Marsh Neighborhood Conservation District Commission, seeking members, and also the Avon Hill Neighborhood Conservation District Commission. I'm sure if you're, with a group, A Better Cambridge, you'd probably be advocating disbanding all of these neighborhood conservation district commissions because they consist of residents and therefore they are the enemy. One that came out today, which was a very great concern to me, was the Broadway Safety Improvement Project Working Group. Right, all of these have deadlines, and I think I'll just sort of step aside to speak to that more directly. So, came the cycling safety ordinance is sort of the law of the land. I was anticipating some amendments to that when Joan Pickett was still with us, but Joan Pickett died, and Kathy Zusi has taken her place, and I think Kathy will respect some of the similar positions to Joan in some respects, but maybe not all respects. It had been my understanding that the role of Broadway in the Cambridge Cycling Safety Ordinance might actually be taken off the list of roads to be given the full treatment, or at least, be made a little bit more of a moderate approach. But the word came out today that they're seeking members, and it was hinted at city council meeting last night as well, that they're seeking, I think it's 15 members to serve on a Broadway cycling safety improvement, but that's just code word for bike lanes. And in the announcement, they've come flat out and say that three quarters of all the parking along Broadway are going to be gone. And, so, and bicycles will be pushed up to the curb. And, but, where my block is, there's school buses park on the other side of the street. So that ain't going to change. So on my side of the street, it means all the parking is going to go away. And not only the parking, but, there are times I just had work done on my building and they had to pull trucks up to bring materials and workers and staging and doing all this stuff here. I don't think that would have even been possible because, they would say, sorry, you can't even pull up a tool truck anymore because don't you know that might be blocking the damn bike lane, So there are a lot of us who have a lot of concerns. I'm kind of glad I'm doing some of the work on my house now because if I try to do it in another year and a half, it probably would become impossible. In fact, even getting contractors to work might become impossible because they say we can't even access the sites, So I'm not happy about what's coming down the pike, so to speak. In a better world, maybe I'd say, well, I should apply to be on the Broadway safety improvement group. But honestly, I'm sure this is a done deal. And the whole purpose of this committee will simply be to meet and say yes to the things the city staff has already decided must be. And I don't think I'd be very shocked if people are even appointed to it who have a contrary point of view. And I think a lot of people who do have contrary point of views, they had their druthers, whatever a druther is, they would probably advocate for amending the cycling safety ordinance, but they'll be told in day one that's not an option. So who knows? So maybe, you know, this is the, I think they're scheduled to be, meet in 2025 into 2026. And then sometime later in 2026 is when they're scheduled to rather radically change Broadway. Be interesting to see what happens down around Lamplighter Brewery, where, you know, not only is there parking down there, but there's also trucks have to pull up. And there's often a truck there. In fact, it's often sort of awkward because even automobile traffic and bike traffic, anybody sort of has to get around this thing. And what are they going to just say, get the hell out of here, take your operation to Somerville? Well, Somerville's just as bad, quite honestly. So I don't know really what's going to happen. You know, and Broadway is not uniform. It's wider and some portions and narrow in other portions. And I don't think anybody's really interested in doing anything right. They're just wanting to do it the one way because, you know, we don't want to listen to people, you know, and that's it. So maybe this becomes a political issue. Maybe people in mid-Cambridge, you know, will you know, raise the red flag and start, you know, raising hell politically for the municipal elections next year. I don't know. On the other hand, I'm sure there are plenty of people who are gung-ho in favor of the bike lanes too, you know. And you know, some of whom may actually live in Cambridge, you know, many of whom live in Somerville, but I think most of those are the people who are taking the bike lanes along Hampshire Street. I will say, you know, having lived on this street for 46 years, 46 and a half years, Broadway has never been a particularly heavily bike traveled street. You know, yes, they're there, but not in very large numbers. So, you know, and there's, I'm sure people will say, you know, if you build it, they will come, right? And, you know, I'm sure there's some who are of the belief that, you know, if you put in the bike facilities, that next thing you know, by Broadway is going to be nothing but. But, you know, has anybody ever explored the notions about turning places like Harvard Street, which is much more low volume, into a more of a bike thoroughfare? You know, not bike exclusive, but sort of a bicycle priority road? No. You know, come Central Square, when you know, they'll be coming for Central Square soon as well. What kind of treatment is Central Square going to get in terms of the bicycle facilities? You know, I think if it was up to the people at Public Works, they would all be sidewalk level. You know, will they consider doing anything like that on Broadway, even though I'm sure it's more expensive? So far in the advertisement, it didn't suggest it. They basically already told you it's going to be flex posts, so quick build, as they say. You know, whereas, you know, there are places, just like there was up in North Mass Ave, where they're actually very wide sidewalks. If you compromise some of the sidewalks by moving the curbs back a bit, but then that might affect some of the trees that exist on some of those streets. But then maybe you would be able to still accommodate some of the parking. But I don't think they care, and I don't think our traffic and parking department cares, and I don't think our Department of Environmental Planning, et cetera, cares. And honestly, I'm not so sure that most of our city councilors care anymore. You know, as long as they get their name on that little slate card from Cambridge Bike Safety, you know, that's all that they really care about. So anyway, I guess I spoke my piece on that issue, you know, not for the first time and not for the last time, to be sure. There are a few other things. Actually, one other thing that came up last night at City Council, actually came up the meeting 2 weeks prior, was you know, when they did the Nexus study, which is a required study for determining what would be the justification for so-called linkage payments for certain per, you know, per square feet for new commercial development. So I think that currently it's like something like $33 and something per square foot above, and I think they put a threshold above and beyond 30,000 square feet. So, you know, only for relatively larger projects. But some have suggested that these linkage fees now are actually putting a really cold water on development potential. So now It was even suggested back then that in addition to the linkage fee, which is exclusively for affordable housing projects now, that there could be one for job training, like a so. So there was a city council order which was co long coming. It was not a surprise about writing a home rule petition to allow Cambridge to set up a jobs training trust, or words to that effect, that would then be funded potentially out of linkage fees as well. Now I actually think that's a noble thought. I think that I've always felt that the idea of linking resident, especially people who are born and raised here, to the local economy and finding ways so that they can live here comfortably for their lives without getting priced out because hopefully they get a good job, that's actually should be a really high priority. And we have workforce development, it's run out of human services programs, so these are all good things. But it was already said, like, well, if you have to take, if you have to borrow any of the money from the affordable housing portion of this fee in order to fund the jobs training trust, that's like a non-starter. You can't do that. So I think so Mark McGovern, I don't know if he was being facetious or not, but he said, well, I think it's a great idea. So maybe next year after the Nexus study, we can increase the linkage fee to $45 per square foot and say, well, that'll just kill every piece of commercial development completely. But oh, got to be righteous, you got to do all these wonderful things. So anyway, I thought it was interesting, and and we'll see where it goes. I think where it stands right now, they're going to probably file, once they get the language, file a home rule petition to at least set up the trust, which is essentially like setting up a bank account and all the legal mechanisms. And then the later question comes about whether they would fund it. I think Councillor Toner said, well, wouldn't this be an immediate incentive if we're going to create, once we create the bank account, that we have to fund it? And then there would be pressure to do things. I think that all of this requires a Nexus study. The last one was done in 2019. I think City Manager Yan Huang said that there will be another Nexus study initiated this coming year. And then we'll see where it goes. Maybe they'll decide that the current linkage fee is too high, and it's putting, it's basically making projects that might otherwise pencil out not pencil out anymore, and maybe they have to adjust it downward. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, another study is coming. So anyway, that was one of the things that came up. Let's say the big item, which, again, I've alluded to this. Literally, the big item is the thing that it keeps being sold by the ABC people as ending exclusionary zoning. But what it really is allowing multifamily homes in all residential zones of the city, which very few people I know object to. But what it really is, it has nothing to do with ending exclusionary zoning. It has to do with dramatically increasing the allowable heights and densities in all residential zones, because all residential zones will become rolled into a single residential zone. I mean, I'm guided, where I live is guided by pretty much by the C1 residential zoning district, which allows a 0.75 FAR. The current proposal would dramatically increase that. And it would not only in residence C1, but what are currently residence A, residence B, residence C, which is big in Cambridgeport, as well as residence C1. That's really what this is about. And they had a meeting this afternoon, which I don't remember this. I think this one might have not allowed public comment. I think there was another one recently where they did allow public comment, coming in just later in November, I believe, and into December. There will be a few more where it's all in front of the ordinance committee. And then the big question is there going to be just an effort to rush this through so that it's way in advance of next year's municipal election, so that, it'll be far back in the rearview mirror? Though I don't think it would. I mean, if this goes through as it's currently written, I think you're going to see some incredible outrage happening in some of the lower density parts of the city. because they weren't given an option of saying, well, would you be okay with a modest increase in density? Basically, they'll be going to, like, instead of FAR, I don't think they want to do things in terms of FAR, floor area ratio, so much anymore. But in areas that have like 0.4 or 0.5 FAR, they'll effectively be jumping up to, I believe it'd be something like triple that, if for all intents and purposes. If you're allowing in a place that's largely two-story buildings, 2.5-story buildings, and you're basically saying, you're going to be okay from now. You got to be okay now with six plus story apartment buildings with little or no setbacks, front, side, or rear, right? And they're going to be dropping these boxes in parts of the city that are, relative, single family homes, two family homes, even some triple deckers are basically going to get dwarfed by what's being proposed. Will there be political backlash from that? Yeah, you bet there will be. So take note, my friendly city councilors. You should expect that. So anyway, that's a coming. Now, what will happen? I don't know. Maybe this will be one of those cases where they push it to the limit and then refile it because they couldn't get enough support for it, or they were worried about the political fallout. Who knows? Or, and I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, there are other alternatives being proposed, which will say, okay, let's leave those quiet little suburban-like type of blocks alone, because we don't want them to get all up in arms, and we'll just allow even double that or more along the so-called corridors, like Broadway, where I live, and whatever. In other words, in order to minimize the political fallout in some of the more modest residential zones, they're going to just slam those of us who live along some of the things that are sometimes called corridors and sometimes not called corridors. During Envision Cambridge, Broadway was not listed as a corridor. But when the affordable housing overlay came in, miraculously it showed up, and now it was a corridor, an AHO corridor, whereas they conveniently left out places like River Street and Western Avenue for clearly political reasons, So I'm not feeling particularly trusting as to where this is going or what our elected officials are really up to. And I'm certainly very skeptical of what's happening with some of the staff people within the community development department who are, maybe they're just saying, well, we're just doing what the council told us to do. But the council didn't so much tell them what to do. A couple of councillors, specifically Councillors Azim and Siddiqui, who are the co-chairs of the housing committee, basically said to the staff, hey, write it up. This is what we want. When you throw in McGovern, who will say yes to anything, and Sabrina Wheeler, who has his own particular ideology about such things, then already you're up to four. And then it's a question of, is it going to be five votes to basically ram through something that's going to cause a tremendous amount of response around the city? And for what? Because you think it's going to lower housing costs? Ha 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 ha. Yeah, right. And I got a bridge I would like to sell you in Brooklyn. So anyway, so those are some of the things that are coming down. I think the last thing I wanted to just say in the last few minutes is that there was one topic of some great significance to me. Because another committee that I wanted to be on and should have been on was the Charter Review Committee, except for the fact that there were a couple of political players on the city council who made it their business to exclude me. Yep, it's true. And anyway, so they went through their deliberations, came up with a charter recommendations, some of which I think were good and some of which I thought were horrible. Now it's before the city council, and there was a little bit of a flurry about charter related matters back in January, February, and a little bit onward, Government operations had meetings. I think there's supposed to be, there was at least some call to have some sort of a special committee formed, of maybe a committee of the whole chaired by two counselors, to basically to say, okay, what do we actually want to put on a ballot next year as far as a possible change in the charter? But then, we're hearing nothing but crickets for a while, quite honestly. And I'm kind of wondering where we're going with that. Maybe we're just too focused on one political hot potato right now in the form of this massive upzoning, but I should say massive upzoning being disguised as ending exclusionary zoning, right? That maybe they just don't have enough room on their very very large plate for talking about charter stuff yet. But it's got to come around sooner or later. I'm sure Councillor Nolan will not tolerate it going on too much longer, because she's the one who's sort of the most hot to trot about that particular issue. But I hope they do move forward on this and that they act rationally, and again, I won't go into tremendous detail about this here, but there are a few things that need fixing, and there are a few, or maybe I would recommend fixing, and other things that I think they should leave absolutely alone. I mean, I absolutely think that leaving a strong city manager form of government in place is exactly the right thing to do. There's absolutely no rational basis for changing from that. Honestly, we've been using a city manager form of government since early 1940s, and it has brought us nothing but good things, with the exception of a few particulars. Right? But the form itself of a city manager has actually been very good. We don't need some patronage-oriented strong mayor system where the mayor that gets elected and then pulls a Trump on us and basically appoints his loyalists to his or her cabinet. That's the last thing we need in Cambridge, is to go in that route here. But as I've said before, there are a few technical corrections to the way we do some of the election methods, the PR, not a big change, but just to allow so that it becomes ballot order independent. A general reformatting of the city charter, absolutely a good thing to do. There are a lot of things that are part of the way the city government works that are not strictly written into the charter that ought to be at least referenced in the charter. Things like the way we have a traffic department set up, the elections commission is part of a special act of the legislature, certain things related to the license commission, Cambridge Health Alliance, and even our election methods is referenced to Chapter 54A, which actually doesn't, it's been repealed, but we still use it because it's grandfathered in. So anyway, there's a lot more I could say about what we should and shouldn't do, but I don't want to go on it anymore because we're just about out of time here. But maybe we should make the wall between city councilors and city staff a little more translucent. Anyway, leave it at that. See you later on Cambridge Inside Out.